Good morning, good morning. As you're making your way to your seats, it is so good to see all of you here this morning. It is the day that the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed, right? Amen. I'm going to invite Pam to share an announcement concerning our Atlantic Northeast District. We're part of the Church of the Brethren here at Little Swatara, and there's something very special happening in our district Pam's going to share about.
One of the most important things that we do as a congregation is to pray for one another. And at this point, the district sees this as an opportunity for a district-wide mission to pray for all of the churches in the district. And what they have done is they've taken all of the churches and divided them into a list, and they've given each church a different church to pray for each week. Beginning this week, we're asked to pray for the Harrisburg First Church. And some of the things that we're asked to pray for is their ministry and their outreach and their service ministries. Pray for unity and love within the church membership. We'll be putting this in the bulletin on a regular basis so that you'll know who to pray for, and I'll make sure to get it in our next newsletter. This will be something that continues ongoing as we pray for all of the churches. The other unique thing that the district is doing is the district leadership has divided. There's four people within the district leadership in the office for our district have divided all of the churches up, and they will be praying individually for us. Pete Contra has our church, so he's our prayer warrior for the coming months. And so I would just encourage you also to remember our district as you're praying and praying for our leadership, not just here within our district, but also the wider denomination of the Church of the Brethren, because we're preparing for our annual conference that'll be coming up in July. So keep all of that in your prayers. Thanks.
We do want to just highlight the last day is today to order subs. So on the Narthex table, you can place your order today for subs, and they'll be ready April 12th. Any other announcements you'd like to highlight this morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for gathering each one into this place. Father, you know the week that we've been through. You know the morning that we've endured. And we're coming to you to worship you this morning as our risen Savior. And we just pray, Father, that you would quiet our hearts. You would still our minds. You would allow us to be able to center in on who you are and what you mean to each of us. We thank you, Father, for each one. We thank you that you meet us where we are this morning. And we pray that as we rise this morning, we would rise to meet you, to know you more, and to be able to go into our week sharing that good news that you are risen. And we thank you, Father, for meeting us here. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for this opportunity to worship together. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Number 273, if you're able, please rise. Lo, in the grave he lay.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, senior choir. We invite you at this time to share any joys or concerns that you may have. In the bulletin, you'll notice a list of concerns, but we'd be glad to have a microphone come around and just slip your hand in the air and we'll get that to you. And it's certainly a joy to be together here on Easter Sunday celebrating our risen Savior. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share?
Our son Joe had some sedation this week. He was supposed to have a new pacer defibrillator. That didn't happen. He has a broken wire. So we're looking at wire removal. He's transferred to Lehigh Valley doctors. Next doctor appointment's not till April 27th. So if you can keep him in your prayers for a strong, steady heartbeat. My sister Ray fell last week and broke both of her arms. So she has some foster children along with her own too, so I haven't been able to talk to her. Thank you.
Wow. Last week I asked prayer for David Tereko. He died yesterday morning. Please keep Ralph's sister Shirley and her family in your prayers as they plan the funeral services. Nothing is completed yet. So just keep them in your prayers.
I like prayers for my grandmother. She's having surgery tomorrow morning on her eye for cataract.
I'd like prayers for the family of Asher Luciano. He's a stillborn infant for the painter that does all our set painting at Warwick High School. Just a great family, and this has been a real devastating loss for them.
I'd like us to remember Shirley Rissman. Many people here will know her as their former tax collector. Shirley had knee replacement, and she comes here faithfully every Thursday morning to quilt here in our church. She is at Stone Ridge, and I'd like prayers for her continued healing. Yes.
New Covenant Christian School had a very sad time this weekend, last weekend. The science teacher passed away suddenly from a heart attack, and the whole school was devastated. It was a real prominent young man in that community, and the funeral is tomorrow, so there's going to be quite an ordeal there.
Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you this morning with our hearts tuned to yours. You know, Father, the lives that are before you. You know our heartbeat. You know every breath that we take. You know all about us. And Father, you choose to love us unconditionally. And Father, you loved us so much, you've sent your Son to die to pay the price for our sins. But we know that your Son's not dead. We know that that tomb is empty. And Father, we come to you this morning knowing what that means for us, that all of the events, the tragedies that we face in this world are temporary, and one day we'll spend eternity forever with you. And we just thank you, Father, for that knowledge. But we know, Father, as we go through this life, that you are going with us. You go through every situation we face, and you know the feelings, you know the emotions that we are dealing with. And we just pray for those that have lost family members, who have lost teachers, who have lost loved ones, along this year already and most recently, Lord, and we just pray your comfort, we pray your peace upon each of them, Father, and we know that you mourned at the loss of a friend, and we know that tears are able to be shed, and we thank you for the emotions that you give us, that we can grieve and we can go through that healing process with the comfort that you provide. We think of those that have upcoming appointments and surgeries, and we think of Joe this morning, and especially just lift up his heart in a very special way and ask your miraculous touch upon him to bring healing, but maintain that steady heartbeat for Joe and just let your presence be known to him and your love to surround him and his family. And we think of Ray, the two broken arms this morning, and just pray, Father, that you would just allow healing and recovery to go very quickly. And we just pray that families and friends can reach out and help her during this difficult time. We think of Lisa's grandma this morning and just pray that you would be with her as she faces cataract surgery upcoming, and just pray that you would give her a peace and just give her a knowledge of you as she faces that surgery, and just may that time go by quickly and can see clearly again. And we just thank you for modern medicine and the way that intersects with the life we live in you. And we just, again, Father, just turn to that empty tomb, and we just take pause, and we know that empty tomb means that a new life should have happened in our lives, and we just pray for newness in this moment, that we would confess and receive your forgiveness and just know that those sins can remain at the foot of the cross. And we just come before you now, confessing our sins and receiving that forgiveness and being aware of our eternal life. So please, Lord, hear our prayers during these next few moments. Father, this morning we just come to you with our very lives and we surrender them to you. We know, Father, you have a pleasing, a perfect will for each of us. And we just ask, Father, that we would live into that. We would surrender to it and we would be obedient to the ways in which you use us with the gifts and talents that you have blessed us with. We pray for hearts that may be far from you this morning, Lord, and just pray that we would be able to find that reconciliation, knowing that you're not a God that's out to get us. You're a God that loves us. You're a God that does things for us to meet our needs. And we just pray, Father, that whatever needs there are in this congregation right now, that you would meet them. We also pray for our church in the denomination Harrisburg First, and we pray for their pastors this morning. We pray for their congregation and just lift up Harrisburg First and all that they're doing this morning. And Father, bless them and use them in powerful ways in their community. And we just thank you for the Atlantic Northeast District and pray your blessing over leadership and everyone involved in our district this morning, and just ask that you would be glorified. And we just again thank you, Father, for bringing us here safely. We know around the globe there are Christians gathering to meet who are being persecuted, and we just pray for peace across this entire world. We pray against the evil one and ask, Father, that your love would go forth and it would start with us, and we would love one another and we would love well. And we just thank you for this time together to celebrate the risen Savior, and we thank you for eternal life, and we thank you for the peace that you give us within our hearts, knowing you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number 280, Christ the Lord is risen today. We remember just 3 days ago, Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." Now, I want you to take notice of those words, "It is finished." Jesus didn't say, "I am finished. There is much work to be done." There's an indication that Jesus is not finished yet, for we know that the day will come, Jesus will return in his glory. So we look forward to that day, we anticipate that day, and we give knowing that day will come. For as our offerings go forth to reach the lost and to serve those in our community and this church and its needs, we know that that day is coming. Well, Jesus will be back. The offering will be taken, and I'll pray thereafter. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for the blessings that you give us in our lives. We thank you, Father, for every need being met. We thank you, Father, for being a creator God. We thank you for knowing us, Father, and for loving us. And we just pray these gifts would be used to glorify you. We thank you for each person gathered here this morning and ask your abundant blessings and your grace and your mercy poured forth upon them. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you.
I would like to invite all the children to come join me up front.
Sure.
Good morning. There are so many of you this morning. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Are you excited for today?
Yeah.
Did anyone have an egg hunt yet? Are you going to have one?
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you already had one.
I did. We had two actually.
Two? Oh my goodness. Raise your hand if you're having one today.
I haven't got
one. You're having one? Well, I brought my own special egg with me this morning, okay? This is a hard-boiled egg. Has anyone hard-boiled eggs and painted or decorated them? You probably did that for Easter too. But first, before we do something with this egg, I want to talk about a very, very short but very powerful word. It's called sin. Can anyone tell me what sin means? Who can tell me what sin is?
I remember.
Go ahead, buddy. Let's let him try first. I saw a hand.
When you do something bad.
Very good answer. Go ahead.
Jesus forgives our, he died on the cross to forgive our sins for all the bad things we did, and he took our sins with him.
Very good. Very good. So sin is anything that we do, we say, or think that goes against what God has told us in the Bible to be the truth. So it's anything that makes God unhappy. So let's think of some things that you might have done that made God unhappy. Can someone tell me some ideas? We've all have done sins in our lives. What are some things you do that make God unhappy, LJ? Lie. Very good. So I'm going to write all the sins that you tell me on my egg, okay? I have a big black marker, and we're going to write it on the egg. So I'm going to write lie. Go ahead.
Do something without grown-up knowing.
Doing something behind a grown-up's back. Okay, that's a pretty long one. I'm going to shorten that one up. Go ahead.
Being bad to each other.
Being bad to each other, being mean to each other. Being mean, yes, definitely a sin. We don't want to be mean to anyone. Go ahead, buddy.
Stealing,
oh my goodness, that's a good one. Never, we never want to steal. Stealing. Go ahead. No. Oh, using scissors without adult permission. Scissors can be dangerous. That's a very good answer. We have room for a whole bunch of sins on here because we have done a lot of sinning. Biting. Ooh, biting.
I think biting and fighting.
Biting is definitely a sin. Doesn't make God happy.
And
God.
Fighting.
Oh, not yep. Sharing. Not sharing, and I heard fighting. Fighting, not sharing. What else? Oh, cutting someone's hair when you're not supposed to. Whose hair have you cut? What? No one's. How about a doll? I've done that before. Have you cut a doll's hair? Yeah, I've been there. Anything else? What else makes God unhappy?
Yelling,
yes. Or talking back to our parents. How about that one? Saying bad words. So, okay, I'll take one more.
Hitting,
yes. That is a sin that makes God very unhappy. So now look at our egg. What does it look like?
It looks like a sin.
Let's describe our egg. Raise your hand. Someone tell me, what does it look like?
A sin.
What?
A sin egg.
Oh, it looks like a sin egg. Very good. What does a sin egg look like? Let's describe it.
A sin egg, it looks like exactly like that. People write all the sins that they did.
How's it feel?
It feels like uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable? Okay.
Yeah, to do those things. I don't really.
What does it feel like?
Hard.
Hard. That's a good one. What do you think? It's hard? Does it look messy?
Yeah.
How about dark?
Yeah.
Messy, hard.
I don't even think a chick.
So this kind of reminds me of what our hearts are like before we know Jesus, okay? Hard and messy, far from perfect. Does it look like perfect egg?
No.
But this egg also reminds me of what Jesus has done for all of us. He was the Son of God and he lived a long time ago. Jesus spent his life telling people about God and how much he loved them and how God wanted them to live. But Jesus didn't just live for us, he also died for us. That's why we're celebrating Easter today. So all of us have done these things on this egg. Raise your hand if you've done one of these things on this sin egg. We've all sinned, right? Okay, where did my sin egg go? We have to do something very important with this egg yet. We're not done.
What? Well, peel it. Yeah, I'll hold the dish under.
So I'm going to need a volunteer, a very good volunteer to help me peel this egg. Who is very good at peeling?
I'm really good.
Hold on. LJ, go ahead. You're going to peel the egg for me while I... So let's crack it on the side. Go ahead. Very carefully. So while he's peeling the egg, I want you to listen very carefully. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. After 3 days, he rose again, and he's now living in heaven. So he died on the cross for you, and if you believe in him and you tell him that you are sorry for all your sins, he'll forgive you. And if we take a look at the egg after LJ's done.
It looks so good.
It's starting to look good. That's a good word.
Yeah. I could
eat it.
Hold on. Me too. You don't even like it.
I don't like the yellow part.
Oh, I don't like that either. I like mild salt. Mm.
All right. Let's take a look. What does it look like now? Let's describe it. Raise your hand and give me a word that describes our new egg. Nothing's on it. It looks clean, right?
It looks right. It looks really new.
New? Go ahead. What does it feel like?
Soft.
Soft, clean, new. This reminds me of what happens when we ask for forgiveness. We get a clean heart. This is what happens to our hearts, okay? So remember, all of those sins, we can ask for forgiveness, and our hearts will be clean again. So I would like everyone to bow your heads, and let's quickly do a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for each of these precious children before us, and we thank you for the promise and the gifts that you have brought us through your suffering and your resurrection. Please continue to guide these children as they grow and learn more about how to have a clean heart through you. Amen. I would like each of you to take back one of my eggs to remind you of the clean heart that Jesus gives us. Please carefully take one and walk back. Hold on. Oh, friends. Very gently, remember. Very gently.
Okay, now, I remember exactly where it was. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pews. And then I think it was to the right, there were 6 books. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Can you look under that book right there for me? Is there anything underneath that book in that little compartment? It's not there?
Nope.
There's nothing there? Now, where did it go? Let me try it from this direction. I counted from both ways, so it was 9 from that way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. It was 13 from this way, 9 from that way. It's not there. Nothing there. That has to have been there. I know that's where it was put. Have you ever had that happen to you? You put something somewhere, and you go to that exact place to find it, and it's not there. I can't count the number of times that's happened in my life. That's what's happening in our scripture this morning. If you would turn with me, if you have your Bible, to John chapter 20. Now, notice right away in John chapter 20, it's early on the first day of the week. And notice what it says next. It was still dark. Now, I'm imagining when it says it was still dark that it was like pitch black. Have you ever tried to walk when it's pitch black out? Have you ever tried to run when it's pitch black out? Even in the middle of the night, when I get up to go to the restroom, I think I know the path, but I always end up stubbing my toe because I don't want to turn the light on and wake up my wife. So essentially, that's sort of what's happening here in the first verse of John chapter 20. It was still dark, and Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Now, I went 13 pews one way, 9 pews the other way, and I went to where I thought something was there that I put there, and it wasn't there. And that's what happens next. She sees the stones removed from the entrance. So that means one thing to her. Continuing, verse 2. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. And that's what I was trying to figure out, where the item I put in 9 pews from the back, 13 pews from the front, was placed. And so we can say early on in these verses that there is a bit of confusion. Continuing in verse 3, so Peter and the other's disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple, I love this part, the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Now think about John and think about Peter. Peter was the one who denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but how many times? 3 times. So it only makes sense to me that as Peter and John were running to the tomb, suddenly Peter caught wind of his memories. And that wind pushed him back. And it happens in our own lives where we're running forward and we know God is with us and God's doing amazing things, but then suddenly we hit this wind of memories that starts to push us back, and we want to go forward, but we can't really go forward because we're struggling with the thoughts going through our mind. So you can imagine in this moment, Peter is struggling with the facts that he denied Jesus 3 times. So did John really outrun Peter? We don't know, but that's what the text says. Let's continue. Verse 5, John, who got there first, he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived, and guess what Peter does? Peter went into the tomb. You could almost realize, I've denied him, but the reasons I denied him are coming true, and he runs into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and he believed. One of the disadvantages we have as believers after the fact is we don't get to be with Jesus in person. How cool would that be, though? Being with Jesus in person. Now, we have faith, we believe, as we walk through this life, as we travel through this life, Jesus goes with us, the Spirit goes with us, the promised counselor. But often we have those moments in life where we feel so alone. We wonder, is Jesus really with us? And when we come to that conclusion and we start to believe, yes, God is with us, we start to do some pretty incredible things. So it goes on, verse 9, it says, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. Now, from the beginning of chapter 20, we can gather perhaps Mary's still wondering where the body went. And for us, we either believe in the resurrection, that the tomb is empty, or we still, like Mary, weep and wonder. We still remain a bit confused. We still remain a bit doubtful. We want to believe. We're almost there. But can the tomb really be empty? Can a person and someone who's also God actually conquer death? And that's what we need to settle in our mind. I think it's easy for us to be able to say, Jesus died on the cross. Anyone agree with that? It's pretty easy to believe that. Jesus died on the cross. People die every day. And we may even be able to go as far as to say, you know, Jesus died on the cross and he took away my sins. We could probably get to that point. But then on that third day, on this day, we celebrate the resurrection, that tomb is actually empty. That's where the struggle truly begins. And so we continue in verse 13. Remember, there's two angels, one at the head and one at the foot. And they ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she says, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But it doesn't end there. It goes on and says, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. It's kind of as we're walking through the streets, we're walking through the mall, and we think we see someone we know. I thought it was Greg, but then I walk up to the person, I put my arm around him, "Hey, Greg, how you doing?" And they look at me, and they're like, "Oh, I'm not Greg." Anyone ever have that happen to them? I'm the only... Okay. So verse 15b goes on, thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, and this is where it becomes real, "Mary." He speaks her voice. And friends, he's speaking each of our names today. And she hears his voice, and this is what happens, and this is what can happen to us when we answer that call to come and follow him. It says she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me. So at this moment, we know that Mary is overwhelmed with joy and she's grabbing a hold of Jesus, but Jesus had not yet been glorified. And he says, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead, and get this, to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. See, this is where it gets personal for each of us. He's not only returning to his God, he's saying, I'm returning to your God. And he's speaking to us today, I'm returning to your God. And then it concludes, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said, and she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, this morning, we have to recognize Jesus is inviting us. It's not just any invite, it's a personal invitation. Many of you get those in the mail, a personal invitation to a wedding, to a birthday party, to celebrate someone's baptism. And so this morning, we're talking about a personal invitation. And it's a personal invitation that changes the course of our lives forever. It's an invitation to know Jesus personally. Now, if you've read Scripture at all, you recognize Jesus is not just any ordinary person. You recognize Jesus is the only person who was able to die on a cross to pay for your sins. And as Ashley showed the children this morning, we know that there is not a single one of us without sin. Have you ever had a problem in your life you tried to fix on your own? How well does that go? I can't count the number of times where things become frustrating and on my own I'm trying to fix it, and it never seems to get fixed until that moment I turn to Jesus and say, you know, I just can't do this on my own. I need a bit of help. And he will counsel us. But this is a separate point. This is before any of that can happen. You have to personally invite Jesus into your life. You recognize that he died on that cross, that he paid the price for your sin. That was the problem. The problem is we all have sin. And there's ways in which we try to fix that on our own. But that sin problem cannot be fixed apart from the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. So the first part of accepting Jesus is being willing to admit that you have a sin problem. And after you admit the sin problem, you need to be willing to turn those sins over to Jesus. So you admit them and then you confess them. And the beautiful part about Jesus is he accepts all of our sins. It doesn't matter what any of us have done. Any sin that we are dealing with in our lives, Jesus is saying, lay them at the cross. But it doesn't stop there. He proves something to us that many of us fear. And even as a pastor for many years, I feared that word death. And this morning, you may be gathered here and you may fear death and you may wonder, what is there after this, if there's anything at all? And that is what the cross to the tomb has given us. Because the tomb is no longer occupied, because the tomb is empty, we know death has been conquered. Death will not hold us. Death cannot keep us. So we no longer have to fear death, because death being conquered by Christ means that we too can live. So we've admitted sin. We've confessed sin. But then what often happens is we'll get through those first two steps, but then we also need to confess Jesus as Lord. Now, for something to lord over you means that it has control of you, kind of like chocolate in my life. It's bad, I live so close to Hershey. But when you make something Lord of your life, you need to surrender it. You need to allow it to be in control. Now, first and foremost, when we think of someone being in control, it's usually a negative thing. We're like, no way, we're not going to let that thing control us. But Jesus is different. When you let Jesus control your life, he brings peace. A peace like you've never experienced before. He brings understanding. He brings comfort. He brings joy. He takes those feelings of being alone away. And those moments where you can't figure out life's problems, He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us. So this morning, you'll notice in the bulletin, the title of the sermon is, Do You Know Where You'll Go? Do you know where you'll go? For some of us, we think we have a lot of life to live yet. Others of us know we're in those golden years and death could be upon us at any moment. But do you know where you'll go? Have you made up in your mind that Jesus is Lord of your life? Have you surrendered your sins to Him? Have you turned from those sins? And if you sit here this morning and you say, yes, yes, Pastor Matt, I have. Is there evidence that would convict you in a court of law that you have done so? So Easter Sunday is a day of celebration. Not only because God is not dead, but because we one day will not be dead, but will be very much alive in a place called heaven. A place over the next couple weeks we'll talk about. But first, we need to decide in our minds, do we know where we're going? Jesus has done it all for us. He's paid the price. He's made the opportunity to be in relationship with Him possible. He's made the opportunity to be in heaven with Him one day possible. But He lets the decision up to us. He doesn't force it. So I'm going to just invite us to close our eyes. And as we close our eyes, we look at our current situation. Some of us may find ourselves in desperation. We're searching, we're seeking, we're trying to solve what's happening in our lives. Whether it's a broken marriage, whether it's financial problems, whether we just can't seem to find the right job, whether it seems to be that we're lost and we want to be found, but we just continue to wander. Perhaps you have joy. Perhaps you have happiness. Perhaps you're content and things are going well and you're satisfied, but you just haven't made that step to accept Jesus. Wherever you find yourself in life this morning, whether you're still seeking, you're still wondering, is that tomb really empty? Jesus is inviting you into that personal relationship with Him. This invitation is extended to everyone. No one is excluded. And so this morning, we're just going to say a prayer together. And perhaps you'll be saying this prayer for the 100th time. And perhaps you're saying this prayer for the first time. Know that as you enter into that relationship with Jesus, you're not alone. He's given you fellow believers. He's given you a church to belong to and to have encouragement from, to grow in, to be a disciple. So this morning, I just invite all of us, from the depths of our heart, from within our soul, to say these words together. Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I confess that I need you. I make you Lord of my life. I surrender to you. And I thank you for your forgiveness. I ask that you would help me turn from the sins in my life and to live for you. And I know and I believe that the tomb is empty and you are risen. Thank you for coming into my life. Amen. If you did say that prayer for the first time this morning, don't leave this place without talking to another believer. This life as fellow Christians is meant to be lived together. And there's many of us that we try to do that in isolation. We try to do that on our own, but there's such power in the gathered body of Christ. And there's such power in encouraging one another to walk that faith out. So thank you for coming here on Easter Sunday. And if you're able, please rise, because we know that this final hymn is so true. He lives. Amen. Because he lives, we too can live. This life is not all there is. There is more. And so let's go forth this day proclaiming that great news that Jesus lives. The tomb is empty. And we can have abundant, we can have full life knowing him personally. May it be so in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.